trying to go a little bit easier than I usually do in the mornings for all of our sakes. But what we're going to be doing tonight is something we've recently been doing, is we're going to look over one of our psalms once again. So if you have any ideas for different psalms that you might want us to go over, or you might like one psalm in particular that we haven't gone over yet, you can always bring those to my attention. I'd love to go over one of these on one of these Sunday evenings. But what we're looking at tonight is Psalm 104. Psalm 104. And what we're going to do is we're going to read this entire psalm. We're going to go through it and kind of talk about it. Maybe relate some things, of course, to the New Testament. And we're going to look at Psalm 104. Now this psalm, of course, as many, many of the psalms are, is a psalm about glorifying God, giving praise to God in all things. Of course, in His majesty, His glory, in creation, nature, all the things that God made, all the things that God does for His people, giving thanks to God for all these things, giving glory to God for all these things. Bless the Lord, O my soul, as the verse and the chapter starts out. So we'll go ahead and read verse 1 right there in Psalm 104. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, You are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty. So some people, of course, well, most people say that all of these are psalms, and that is things that you sing, or songs that you sing. They would call them specifically the word psalms. But psalms that you sing and lift up your voice in melody to the Lord. But also, you could use these as also prayers. So people would, of course, use these as prayers. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, You are very great. That kind of sounds like Jesus' prayer. Hallowed be Your name. Whenever Jesus, of course, would show His disciples how to pray to God. So, O Lord my God, starting out with that admiration, starting out with that praise to God, first of all, the beginning exhortation. It's almost really even it's actually, of course, a self-exhortation, saying to his own soul, as even many of the Psalms do, to bless the Lord. He's addressing himself, writing to his own soul, writing to his own spirit, saying, bless the Lord and praise the Lord. Sing to God. Bring all of these praises to God. Glorify God. Not yourself, soul. So imagine yourself, imagine right here, you're the one in the shoes right now. And you're the one saying, bless the Lord, O my soul. So put yourself in that place of the word soul there. And that's really it's of course, an exhortation to that person in that place. But it's a self-worth exhortation, the psalmist here is, of course, saying. Now, we don't know exactly who wrote this psalm. It could have been David, King David, that is. It could have been Asaph. It could have been any number of psalmist writers. There were quite a few of them. We don't even know who the recipient was. But we do know, of course, that it is inspired just like the rest of the psalms. As far as the date, we also don't know. As far as the occasion, we don't know as far as contextually. So this psalm is one of those psalms that really just doesn't have a lot of background to it. Some of the psalms are like that. That's okay. But this psalm is inspired like any of the rest. So we'll go ahead and begin talking about verses 1 through 4. So let's read that together. Psalm 104, 1 through 4. We'll start in verse 2. Well, actually, verse 1 once again. We'll just start off. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, You are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty, who cover yourself with light as with a garment, who stretch out the heavens like a curtain. He lays the beams of His upper chambers in the waters, who makes the clouds His chariot, who walks on the wings of the wind, who makes His angel spirits His ministers, a flame of fire. So a lot of great things talking about really the majesty and the power of God and the magnificence of God. A lot of maybe even things like you see in Revelation being even talked about right here back in the Psalms. So beautiful, beautiful wording, poetic language that we can look at. You know, just admiration to God, just straight up praise to God, describing how amazing God is, describing how powerful He is and how much glory He deserves. All of that just, you know, right out saying it in a poetic type way. So this psalmist is really, really giving the glory to God. As far as being clothed with honor and majesty, So the psalmist just once again giving that glory to God. Something I think of whenever it talks about covering with honor and majesty and covering with light as with a garment is like with Moses in the book of Exodus. We think about Exodus 34, 29 through 35. You remember when Moses would, of course, come from talking with God and his face was shining so bright that the people couldn't look at him. And everybody was saying, you know, cover your face. We can't look at you. And in that text there, and of course, it was because he just got through talking to God. And just because he was in the presence of God, talking with God, the light was so glorious and booming to their eyes, they just couldn't even take it. So Moses' face was literally shining from talking with God. It was a beautiful scene. Exodus 34, 29 through 35 is where that is at. But he's clothed with these things, God is. He's clothed with such glory and such holiness that his light just shines. Remember, like in Revelation, in chapter 21, how it talks about even in the city of heaven. What's the light for the city of heaven? It's God Himself. He shines so bright that the light doesn't even have need of a lamp or electricity. It just shines because God is omnipresent everywhere. And His light just shines for everything in the city of heaven. So, just beautiful, beautiful descriptive concepts that we can look at here from the Psalms. Of course, when we talk about His works, because of His works. So, really what's being said here, He's elaborating on the greatness, and He's using the same phrase. He is great because of His dot, dot, dot. The first thing, of course, would be because of His clothing, what we just talked about. And then also because of His works. So, who stretch out the heavens like a curtain. We also looked at, lays the beams of His upper chambers in the waters, makes the clouds His chariot, walks on the wings of the wind. So, His works, He stretched out the heavens like a curtain. He lays the support for His highest chambers on the water. That, of course, may even be referencing to His miraculous power. How God would control the oceans, how He controls the seas, how He stops the sea from going too far onto the land. You know, the waves, they try and try to get on the land, but God set the limits. He placed the moon in place, of course, to make the tides. God did everything correct, and He set the limits for how everything works. So beautiful descriptions here. He stretched all this out. The heavens would be in reference to the stars, the skies. You know, back then they wouldn't have known all the scientific space stuff we know today. They would have just seen the stars. They would have seen constellations. They would have known those things. So He stretched all that out. God's the one who made all that, the universe. When they see maybe like a meteor in the sky, God's the one who made that to where that would happen. How beautiful that, or like a meteor shower, an eclipse. God's the one who's responsible for doing that. That beautiful creation, for creating that. The next thing we can, of course, see is because of His transportation. Give glory to God because of His transportation. The clouds are even His chariots. A chariot, something that moves incredibly fast, apart from a man just running. A chariot, extremely fast, usually carried by two or more horses. And God, the clouds are His chariots. So not horses, but the clouds. So He's literally able to ride on the clouds. So that's just more really to say about God's omnipresence. The fact that He's everywhere. He can get anywhere immediately. It's that fast. There's no limits to God's power. He's omnipresent. Or to His placement. Jeremiah 23 and verse 24. I'll read real quick. Jeremiah 23 and verse 24 is a good verse for this. We'll start in verse 23 there. Am I a God near at hand, says the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can anyone hide himself in secret places so I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? So, of course, God's speaking of His omnipresence, the fact that you can't go anywhere to get away from Him because God is already there. You go into the ocean or into space, you go to Mars like they're trying to do today, God's already there. You know how they tried to build the Tower of Babel back in the day? Remember that? They thought they could get as high as the heavens. Well, are they trying to do that today? In space? Yes, they are. And guess what? Is God already there? He's already there. He's already there. So man will try to build himself up as high as possible, but God's already passed him. God's already there. He's the one who made it all. So while they're trying to figure out how to get to Mars, God's in another galaxy. He's the one who made all the galaxies that we know about. They didn't know about that back in this day, but we do nowadays. God's the one who made those things. He's the one who set those limits and those great celestial bodies in space, of course. So another thing, because of his agents, powerful are they, like the speed of flight and of wind, of the power even of fire. So we talk about like with angels or spirit beings that God would use, of course, to bring messages towards his people, or maybe to the prophets. He would use angels in different ways. We know that there's not a lot of verses that talk about angels, but as far as describing them, but we know that there are still verses that talk about them in many different sections, actually, that talk about them at least in occasions. And God would use them for specific reasons, to bring messages to the people, sometimes to even cause destruction, bring about His judgment, His wrath. So God has ultimate power to use even those spirit beings, beings that He even created Himself, as He created all things good in the beginning, physical and spiritual. God has the power over all these things. So let's continue on. We can also, of course, look at other psalms for these things. We need to think about our prayers today as Christians. You know, do we give as much admiration as even these psalms are? And sometimes people will use these psalms for praying to God. I don't see anything wrong with that. Of course, as long as it's genuine and it's from the heart, using some of these sections of these psalms, you know, to pray to God, as long as it's genuine, that's completely fine. These psalms are with great admiration, poetic, talking about how amazing and awesome God is, quite literally. So other ones like Psalm 57 in verse 5, Psalm 96 in verse 8, 105 verses 1 through 2, they talk about the greatness, the power, the majesty, giving God all of the glory and thanksgiving. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20 is a verse that we can refer to as far as the New Testament. Something that we have to be thankful for as Christians today. In a hard, tough world, in a world that seems like it's dying, that there's no hope at all, nonetheless, somebody came and conquered the world for us whenever we couldn't. And that, of course, was our Savior, Christ. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20 says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own?" Verse 20, "For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Both of those things, the body and the spirit, they're both God's. Glorify God in both of those things, is what it's saying there. Give God all of the glory. John 12, 28. John 12, 28. Of course, Jesus, even in prayer, giving glory also to God, as we mentioned earlier. John 12, verse 28, and we'll start in verse 20, says, "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." Therefore the people who stood by and heard it said it, that it had thundered. Others said, an angel had spoken to him. Jesus answered and said, "This voice did not come because of me, but for your sake." So you can continue on from that passage, in that passage on your own time. I encourage you to. I love that passage. It's a passage that we all need to know. But the point right here, of course, is giving that glory to God. Even Jesus himself does that. Like in Matthew 6, 9, we mentioned the Father, hallowed be your name, as many people even say in their prayers. That's a great thing to say. Honored be your name. Holy be your name. Holy even be your name. I mean, think about what that's saying. Even his name, not even just maybe his being, but his name even, is also holy. His name is also to be respected and honored and revered, held to the highest respect, to the highest glory. Really what Jesus is giving there. The second elaboration, we'll go back to our psalm. We'll go through this section quite a bit faster. But back to our psalm, if you will. The second elaboration, Psalm 104 and verses 5, and we're going to start reading here. 5 through 9. "Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O seed of Abraham, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God, his judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the word which he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham, and his oath to Isaac." So, God is great because of his creation of the earth. The psalmist continuing to, Well, was I reading the wrong one? I was reading the wrong one, of course. So, I was talking about Psalm 104, but I read Psalm 105. So if you would, read the proper verses with me. That was verses 5 through 9. You who laid the foundations of the earth, so that it should not be moved forever. You covered it with the deep as with a garment. The water stood above the mountains. At your rebuke they fled. At the voice of your thunder they hastened away. They went up over the mountains. They went down into the valleys, to the place which you founded for them. You have set a boundary that they may not pass over, that they may not return to cover the earth. So like we were talking about with the waters, God's the one who set all those limits. God's the one who made the tides. He made the ocean apart from the land. He made a place for humanity to live, to thrive, to have their being. He made all of that. He set that up so that we might be able to live and make choices in this life to live for Him. God's the one who created all these things. God is great because of that. How much greater is it, of course, that it was our Savior, as we know today? They didn't know it back then, but as we know today as Christians, the mystery has been revealed. Who's the one who created all of it? Jesus. He was the direct agent of creation. John 1:1-14, we should all know it. And Colossians 1:15-16, of course. And you can continue 17-18 on that one, on the sustaining of it. And also Him being the body, or the head of the body of Christ. God is also great because of His care for His creation. Verses 10-13, read it with me. Psalm 104. He sends the springs into the valleys. They flow among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. By them the birds of the heavens have their home. They sing among the branches. He waters the hills from His upper chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your works. So God cares for His creation. He shows consideration. He shows love. He shows, you know, a sense of wanting to give well-being towards His creation. He wants to do the best for us. So whenever we pray to Him, God even allows that avenue of prayer that we can talk to Him, that we can go to Him in prayer and ask Him for things. Not even just for a case of obedience, but also just so we can have our Father there. Because He, of course, even displays Himself throughout the Scriptures in talking about Himself as a name, as a father figure for us as His children. He always called His people Israel. What? His children. Not just His nation, but His children. He calls us that today as Christians. We're His chosen people, but we're also His children. How beautiful is that God cares for His creation? Give glory to Him for that. Thank God in prayer for that very thing. So we can also look at other passages for that, of course. Matthew 10:29 is a good passage for that, and also Colossians 1:17-18. I'll go ahead and read the Colossians passage because of the crucialness of it in these references. Colossians 1:15-18, but I think everybody here knows those passages well, but we'll just go ahead and read it again. They're no doubt beautiful passages. Colossians 1:15-18. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist or sustain. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. Talking about Christ, of course, directly. So, God is great because of His care for His creation. Not only did He create it, as it said, Jesus just did there, but also He consists it. He sustains it. He takes care of it. Matthew 10:29, talking about how God knows. Of course, there's many other verses we can refer to on that, but God knows. You know, there's not a bird that drops to the ground. There's not anything that dies, or a lily of the field that's not taken care of without the Father's watch on it. God knows everything. He's taking care of all of nature for us, all for the good of man, of course. Now, also, God is great because of nature and time and the courses of everything that He created. So 14-23, back in Psalm 104. Psalm 104, if you read 14-23 with me. I think it is beautiful to have lessons on the Psalm every once in a while, to just read through them and talk about them, apply them to us as Christians today. They're no doubt there for that very purpose, preserved for us. All right, 14-23. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle and vegetation for the service of man, that he may bring forth food from the earth and wine that makes glad the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, bread which strengthens man's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon which he planted, where the birds make their nests. The stork has her home in the fir trees. The high hills are for the wild goats. The cliffs are a refuge for the rock badgers. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knows it's going down. You make darkness and it is night, in which all the beasts of the forest creep about. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their food from God. When the sun rises, they gather together and lie down in their dens. Man goes out to his work and to his labor until the evening. So God, of course, talking about his control over nature, talking about his sustaining over nature. How beautiful are these verses? How beautiful are these verses? Talking about how God is in control of all these things. If he's in control of all these things, just as Jesus makes the point in the New Testament, how much more so does he care about his children? Of course, so much the more so. He cares about his children whenever he listens to our prayers, whenever he watches us in our lives and dealing with trials and dealing with sufferings, maybe for our benefit, as we talked about chastisement this morning. But God's taking care of us in all these ways, and he knows how we struggle. He knows what we need, and he takes care of our needs. How beautiful that we have a Father such as that. God is great, so glorify him. Thank him for such things in prayer. Be thankful for that. It's harder as Americans, but we forget that concept of thankfulness a lot, don't we? Do we forget a lot of times maybe to thank God in prayer as much as we should? Yeah. I mean, I do. I'm sure everyone in this room would say that. We need to thank God a whole lot more. You know, more often we get so caught up in another thing that we're asking God for, or something that we want, or maybe something that we need, but we forget to thank God for the things that have already taken place. Sometimes we forget that. And, of course, we need to remember that thanksgiving is all also part of prayer. Thanksgiving. Giving glory to God is all part of prayer. We're told to glory in God in everything, whether we eat or whether we die, give glory to God in everything. So, of course, the psalmist, of course, elaborating on this, all these different beautiful descriptions that we can look at, why don't we talk like that in our prayers? You know, why don't we just sit down and have an hour of prayer to God, talking about how great he is? Has anyone ever done that? Have you done that? I've done that before. I think everyone in this room has probably done that. But just sitting down and just talking to God, saying how great you are, God, how beautiful everything is that you made for me, that you made for all of creation. That, as Paul even talks about in Acts, in his sermon with the Athenians, how God preappointed all the times of man, how, you know, everything. God, you know, knew, you know, the forming of man. He formed our inward parts, all those different things. God's the one who is in control of these things. Even before we knew we were going to even be in existence, God is the one who took care of all this. He appointed all of this. How beautiful is it that we have a God that it's not just all left up to random chance, but we're here for a reason. It's a miracle that you're here, brethren. A miracle that you're here. It's not just random chance, as evolution would say, but it's a miracle that you're here. It's a miracle that, and I was just watching today these videos in the afternoon. I was trying to take a nap, but I started watching these microscopic videos with, you know, talking about all the cells and the biologies and all of that, all of those things, and looking deep into the, you know, different types of how our systems, how our body works. And it was just amazing to look at all of that. And, the you know, maybe you haven't looked on it as much, but all the different types of little animals that are literally this big, you know, this small. They're that small, and there's millions and billions of them, and they literally serve all these different purposes, and they're literally running nature. I mean, if they weren't there, nature wouldn't even be able to continue running. And we don't even see them with our naked eye, but you need a microscope to see it. And then cells are moving. You know, think about white blood cells. If there's an infection in the body, I was able to see on that microscope, that white blood cell, I mean, that infection is running there. It just comes over. It grabbed it, starts attacking it. It's amazing to see. Like, how does this happen by random chance? Well, of course it doesn't. There's a creator, there's a designer who made it that way. How beautiful and awesome and glorious that God did that for us. So, let's go ahead and continue in our psalm here. We can, of course, think about many different examples like that, but I think we get the point. You know, I always wish I could preach till midnight. I don't think the elders will let me, though. But 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18 is another good verse we can look at. But while we're turning there, we'll go ahead and read. Or maybe we'll turn to that in a second. But we'll go ahead and read Psalm 104 and verses 24 through 30. 104, 24 through 30. We're going to try to finish out this psalm pretty quick. O Lord, how manifold are your works, and wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions, this great and wide sea, in which are innumerable teeming things, living things both small and great. There the ships sail about. There is that Leviathan, which you have made to play there. It's interesting. Leviathan, that sea dragon thing in the book of Job, talking about playing there. These all wait for you, verse 27, that you may give them their food in due season. What you give them, they gather in. You open your hand, and they are filled with good. You hide your face, they are troubled. You take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. You send forth your spirits, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. How beautiful are many of the words of that psalm. Thank God that all of those things are even in existence. The things small and great, what we just referenced there. Talking about microbiology, talking about macrobiology. You know, things big and things small. Things we can't even see with our naked eye. You know, things beyond macrobiology. You know, space itself. Think about all of that, the celestial things. The heavens. How God set all of that up as well. And if those weren't working in exact perfect order, if all of that wasn't turning exactly right, I mean, even the Milky Way turns a little bit, our galaxy, if all of that wasn't turning exactly right, everything would come into calamity. You know, one thing knocked off would destroy everything. And what? They say we've been here for 400 million, actually it's, they say 2 billion years or something, or 20 billion years now, and not one of those errors has been made. How silly. And they don't believe in a God? How silly. How silly. By the way, we haven't been here for 20 billion years. By the scriptural date, we've been here for 6,000, 8,000 years, but that's another lesson. We'll get to that one. Apologetics. But brethren, praise God for all of these different systems that God has set up. Nature, how beautiful. Thank Him for creating us and sustaining this universe and earth that we live and have our being in. The final exhortation is in verses 31 through 35. Read it with me and we'll finish out. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in His works. He looks on the earth and it trembles. He touches the hills and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. May my meditation be sweet to Him. I will be glad in the Lord. May sinners be consumed from the earth and the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. Talking to his own soul once again. Once again, put your own soul in the place of that name there. Like you're talking to God in this way. But may the glory of the Lord endure forever. He looks on the earth, it trembles, touches the hills, they smoke. How amazing is it that we have such a powerful God? Give thanks that He doesn't strike us down immediately. He has every reason to strike us down immediately as mankind. But He doesn't. He allows us to continue to live and move and have our being and still repent, even though we make mistake after mistake. 2 Corinthians 5:11, of course, talking about the terror of the Lord, the terror of the Lord. We persuade men knowing the terror of the Lord is what Paul was saying there. We know that, of course, that God could destroy us at any moment if He wanted to, but He doesn't because He loves us. He wants the best for us. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Another verse and the last one we'll read. Revelation 4:11. Actually, since I have them quoted, I'll just read them. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. That was Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. Revelation 4 and verse 11. Psalm 115 and verse 1. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory, because of your mercy, because of your truth. And lastly, Ephesians 3, 20 through 21. Ephesians 3, 20 through 21. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So we should praise God often and sincerely. Praise God descriptively. Dedicate time during your week to give praise to God. You know, we don't give thanks to God enough, but these psalms, when we come back to them, that's really one of the main purposes of the Psalms. Do you get that from the Psalms? Really one of the main purposes is to teach us that we should be thankful. We should be thankful for the things that we have. Yes, it's easy to get caught up in the trials of this life. I know all about it. I'm young, but I sure know all about it already. It's easy to get caught up in the trials of this life. It sure is. But you've got to be thankful. You have at least something. You have your families. You have the ability to come here and worship God in the way that you need to. You have your spiritual family. I mean, we have our homes. We have our shelters. We're able to eat. We're able to see with our eyes. Some people can't see. Some people are blind. We're able to walk. We're able to hear. I mean, think about all those things. Those are blessings. Some people don't have that. Some people can't see, hear, or anything else. So those are blessings. We've had, you know, lives that, with fulfillment of all these different things. So consider all those things and be thankful. Be thankful for the creation of God and be thankful for the beauty that surrounds us. Now, we did start about 15 minutes late, so this was probably a 30-minute sermon. But if you have any needs this evening, any needs at all, as far as physical or maybe it's a spiritual need, you need to get something right with your God tonight, and please do so. Please do let us help you. Let us take care of you in prayer together. If you have, everybody here is a Christian, so just remember our plan of salvation is always Christians and be ready to give an answer at all times. This is another encouragement and challenge that I give to you. If you have any need tonight, please do come to the front as we stand, as we sing together.
God. I think we have one tonight who needs to partake of the Lord's Supper, so if you would bow with me at this time for the bread. Father in heaven, we're thankful for the bread that represents your Son's body.